Welcome to Sava FC, your hosts, Antonio Scarano and Anthony Valenti.
Welcome back, everybody. It's been a while, but as always, I'm Antonio, and I'm here with Anthony.
What's going on?
Where the hell you been, man?
Dude, everywhere. Soccer season started.
You don't got to tell me.
We're coaching. My boys are playing on two different teams.
I forgot the last time, like, I don't know what day it is anymore.
I know. We had promised each other we'd record on Monday nights, but...
And here we are.
Friday night.
Friday. Yep.
Now, that says two things, right? That says how busy we were and how much losers we are that it's Friday night and we're recording the show.
I mean, you're lucky that I like you.
That's right.
And that's the reason that I'm here.
Sure.
But I did have plans.
Oh, see? Well, he's doing this for you guys. He's not doing it for me.
He's right. I wasn't doing it for Anthony.
So...
No, but dude, it's that time of the year. Listen, your kids are playing.
Yep.
We're coaching a team.
That's right.
I'm playing on two teams at the moment.
That's right. I'm playing. Well, I haven't played in a couple of weeks because of soccer, my kids' soccer, but...
You're back now, yeah. Right? Should be making your debut. I got my alumni game coming up.
Okay.
In a week.
Nice.
So that'll be fun.
Nice.
All the people I graduated high school with and, you know, years before me, years after me. So it's a nice little thing that we do.
That's fantastic.
I mean, dude, it's just soccer's in full effect.
Now, do you play against the kids that are playing now, or is it just...
No, so our alumni game is from when the soccer program was created, which we recently celebrated, what was our, like, 50th anniversary, I believe. That was a few years back. So we're going on 53 years of North Haven soccer program being around. And what it is anybody that wants to come play can, even from the original team.
In their wheelchairs.
Listen, no, there's some guys, dude, that show up.
I know. I've played with guys at the Napoli club that are in their 70s and they're still going.
Right. So, you know, for those of you that have never played an alumni game, these guys, even though you think in your head, like, oh, you know, they're older, it's going to be hard for them. Nah, they show up to play.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
They're ready.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. And the way they split it up is the odd graduation years versus the even graduation years.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. So it's a really, really good time.
Nice.
The games usually start off really well and then get out of hand in the second half. So it'll end like 0-0 in the first half and the game will finish 7-6 or 8-8.
Right.
You know, because in the second half, everybody's tired. Everyone's just gassed, bombing from midfield.
Exactly. Well, that's nice.
But yeah, no, it's a good time. And then obviously we've been busy prepping for our tournament tomorrow.
That's right.
Right. So team we coach is in a tournament tomorrow. And other than that, man, just... Life.
Yeah, I mean, Fantacalcio.
Fantacalcio, that's right.
My first time ever doing it.
So, as you guys know, we put up a poll last week, first Sunday of Fantacalcio for us, of who you thought was going to win between Anthony and I. And I got to say, man, it's hysterical that out of all the people we could have played, so for everybody listening, it's a 10-man league, okay? Out of all the possible matchups we could have had, you and I play each other on the first week.
Exactly. That's just the way it goes, right?
I'd just like to remind you that I won the
voting
in the poll.
Now,
No, in the poll.
Oh, in the poll.
People had more faith in my team than in yours.
But you also won the day.
I did win the day.
Now, because it's my first time playing, I'm still learning. It was pretty close. I mean, I only lost by 10 points, right?
So you lost by two goals.
Two goals. Okay, so... In all fairness, I think that's pretty fair for a rookie that has no idea what he's doing.
Well, to be honest, you were the second highest scoring team in the league.
Oh, wow.
You would have either tied or beaten anybody else last week, except for me.
Except for you, right.
Yeah.
Well, you had a couple guys that went off.
Listen, that's how I built my team this season. So, Fantacalcio, for anybody that's never played.
Or doesn't understand what it means, it's fantasy soccer.
Fantasy soccer, but involving... The Italian soccer league said, yeah, it's fantasy football on steroids. That's the only way I could describe it. Reason for that is because did you notice something different in Fantacalcio?
You don't start with 0 points.
Right. So here's how it works. You go to auction to build a team. So there was 10 of us who met virtually and we held an auction starting with 500 Fantamilioni. So 500 fantasy million dollars.
Right.
We call out a player, starting with goalies, then defenders, then midfielders, and then forwards, until our rosters are filled. So for example, I'm going to take a player that everybody knows, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, okay?
Right.
Ibrahimovic would go in the very last round of our auction because he's a forward. And let's say it was Anthony's turn. He'd say, I'm bidding one on Zlatan. Then people around the room would go two, three, four, five, keep raising the bid all the way up until everybody says, I'm out. And the last bid ends up getting that player.
Right.
So that's how we built our teams. Our teams are constructed of three keepers, eight defenders, eight midfielders, and five forwards.
Right.
Now, this is where the scoring in Fantacalcio gets fun. Fantacalcio gets fun because you don't start a player and get 0 points. Automatically, every player starts with a six, okay? And their rating is actually based on grades by Italian newspapers. So, for example, there's an Italian newspaper called Gazzetta dello Sport. After the match, they will analyze every player that played in that match and say, okay, Insigne from Napoli today deserved an 8. He was the best player on the pitch. We're going to give him an 8. That 8 now applies in Fantacalcio. Insigne has an 8. We also, though, have bonuses and malus, which means if a player scores a goal, you get extra points. If a player assists, you get extra points.
And if it's a bad assist or a weak assist, they give you half a point.
No, they don't.
They don't?
Nope.
Okay, so this league doesn't do it.
No, this league does not do it.
Okay.
So for our league, it's just a goal or an assist, you get points. It's 3 points for a goal, 1 point for an assist. But if you get a yellow card, it's minus half a point. Okay. You get a red card, it's minus 1 point. If you get a, if you miss a PK, it's minus 3 points.
Okay.
So it makes it very interesting.
Yeah, it does.
But if we recap our matchup, for example, let's just look at the forwards for a second. So you guys know I'm pretty high up on Fiorentina this year, especially because of one of my favorite players in the league, and that's Vlahovic. I made sure to draft him, and I got him for a steal, okay? I only paid $89 million for him. Vlahovic scored 2 goals. His vote was a 7.5, according to the Italian newspapers, and with those 2 goals, he went up to a 13.5. But here's the other fun part of how we play Fantacalcio. We get to pick captains and vice captains. So I made Vlahovic my captain. And because he scored 13.5 points, that qualified for him to earn 3 extra points just for being captain. So Vlahovic alone last week got me 16.5 points, which was nuts. I thought it was awesome. But if you look at like Anthony's strikers, he had his top striker, Rafael Leao, 1 goal, got him 10 points. But you didn't make him your captain, Ant.
No, I did not.
Who did you make your captain?
I believe it's Bonucci, and my vice captain was Berardi.
Rookie mistakes. Can't make your defender a captain. You always want to make it your forwards, because if they score, you get extra points.
Did not know that until just now.
Oh, where were you when we explained all the rules in the group chat?
I probably skipped through that because I opened it up and there were 700 messages and I just went to the last one to do a recap.
So our group chat does get nuts. We're always constantly talking about soccer, but that's on you for not reading it because I made sure I put all the rules in there. So we ended up finishing the week. I had 88.5 points. You had 72 points.
Right.
Which put me at 5 goals and it put you at 3 goals. Now, for those of you asking, well, how does this translate? Once you hit 60 points, you are at zero. So you have to score 60 points to stay at zero. Anything under 60, you actually get -1. So it counts as an own goal against you if you score less than 60 points. Once you hit 66 points, it's a goal. Then plus 6 points from 66, it's another goal. So that's how we ended up 5-3.
5-3. I do have one issue. Valerio listens to our show, right?
I'm not sure. Maybe.
Well, we're going to have to make sure he listens. I'm a little upset with him.
Why?
He knows that I'm new at this, right? And he knows how busy I am. You think he would send me a message to let me know that there was a game today? I got the old lineup from last week in there. I'm locked in with the old lineup. He's cheating.
So hold up. Let me understand his logic.
He's supposed to call me and say, hey, set your lineup. Let's make it fair. Now he's going to destroy me. Unbelievable.
You forgot to say your lineup and you're blaming somebody else.
Sure, why not?
You want a participation trophy this year?
You know, I have an idea. We should have a trophy for the last place. It's going to be called the Sacco Trophy.
All right. This isn't the league.
I'm not going to go and describe what the Sacco Trophy is.
This isn't the league.
Anybody has watched the league.
But what do you think? Overall, this was your first time.
I'm enjoying it. I think this is a good time. It's fun. I like the fact that everybody is on that chat. Everyone's communicating. You know, it's. I mean, the other night was a little crazy. 2 o'clock in the morning, you're making transfers for somebody, for Ando.
Yeah.
Right? 2 o'clock in the morning, sleep. You know, it's something called sleep.
I have to say, being like a commissioner, that's the hardest part of this thing because you can't miss a message. So Ando doesn't sleep. All right. The kid loves staying up all night. So at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'll just put in the chat. Oh, dropping this guy, picking up this guy for one Fantamilione. So now when people put that in the chat, ladies and gentlemen, we have 24 hours to respond and decide if we want to upbid Antonio, who just put in a bid.
Right.
Once those 24 hours go by, that player is now Antonio's. So this kid literally at 2 o'clock in the morning puts in the bid. I wasn't going to remember that he did that at 2 o'clock in the morning. Right. So 24 hours later at 2 o'clock in the morning, I get a text message. Hey, when you get a chance, can you add this player to my team?
It's like he had the timer set on his phone.
Yeah. But listen, if you want to run the league efficiently, that's how you got to do it.
Right, right.
It's a lot of fun though. These guys all know the game. It was actually funny. So last night I was playing with a kid who's a big EPL fan and I was explaining to him how our Fantaculture works. He was saying he plays in an EPL league where they can all have like the same players. It's based on a budget. So he goes, some weeks it's really crappy because we all score the same amount of points.
Right, because we ended up having the same 7 Harry Kanes.
Right, right. So I showed him the way we do it. He goes, oh my God. He goes, that looks amazing. That looks like so much more fun.
This is more legit. I've done the EPL one, you know, that you do it weekly.
Right, right, right.
It's boring. You just pick your player and you walk away.
Right. This, you actually have to pay attention to.
You got to pay attention. You have to know what kind of stats the player put up the week before, the year right. before. You need to know.
Like
you know?
Today's game, Torino played. Dennis Praet, their midfielder, got hurt. They're thinking he might be out for like 4 to 6 weeks. He's on my team.
He's on your team.
Now, what do I do? Do I drop him and pick up somebody? Or do I let him sit? Like, I'm going to have to play with a 3-man midfield moving forward because I don't have enough midfielders to field.
But you know what? Now you say that all the players that I was outbidded on that I wanted, like Insigne, Ibrahimovic, that for our first week, all of them got banged up. So it just goes to show you, don't bid against me. You're going to get them. Your players are going to get banged up.
Listen, say what you want. Insigne ended up playing yesterday in the Europa League game. So
he did.
I'm glad that he's healthy. Zlatan, unfortunately, did get banged up. But listen, man, we knew this year was going to be like that for Zlatan. Zlatan was going to play one game, sit 5.
Right.
He's just at that age.
Yeah,
but
right.
that one game he does play, right. he can make a difference. I just wish he had played against Liverpool instead of playing against...
Exactly.
But what are you going to do? But yeah, so that's Fantaculture in a nutshell. Like we said, fantasy football on steroids. For the most part, I went through all of our teams. We all have pretty solid teams.
It seems it's pretty equal.
Yeah, there's no weak team in the league. Unfortunately, Ando Bereki, I feel so bad for the kid. His two starting forwards that he bid so much on, I think it was a combination of like almost 200 mil, both hurt and out.
For how long?
I believe maybe they're going to miss about 4 to 6 weeks as well.
So he might as well just cash in his chips now.
Well, he's last year's winner, so he's got to fight even harder to redeem himself. Let me see who he has. Oh, yep, Muriel and Belotti, because Belotti's hurt.
What did he hurt?
I have no idea. I just know he's hurt. I didn't go in depth about the injury. But overall, I mean, it's been fun. All right, so we caught you guys up on our lives, why we've been MIA. Told you a little bit about Fantaculture and why we're doing this and how we're doing it. If you guys have any questions or want any Fantaculture advice, hit us up. I definitely have ideas for days when it comes to this game. But I also wanted to explain why we've been lacking our posting on Instagram. So we got banned. We told you guys last episode, we got banned on Instagram. And it seems like now that we're back, we're shadow banned because... Well,
I think we're throttled.
Whatever you want to call it. Listen, all these terms, I really don't care. All I know is that when we post things, our reach doesn't go out to certain people anymore. So what we're trying to do is we're just trying to lay low for a little bit. All right. Leave our account as is. And then we'll pick things back up. And especially once the soccer season is over, our soccer season, not the Serie A and EPL.
Right, right.
We'll be able to come back full force and bring you guys some good content. So for the next half of this episode, we're going to be going over a game in the EPL, a few Serie A games, the return of Champions League, the Europa League, after this break from Anchor. All right, and we're back. And why don't you catch us up on the EPL? Because I got to be honest, I've been a bad fanboy and I didn't watch last week. So what happened?
I did watch the biggest upset.
The biggest upset? What happened?
Crystal Palace destroyed the Spurs, Tottenham.
The team that just the episode before you were saying looked unstoppable and that you loved and they had a special place in your heart?
Yes.
That team?
That team.
Lost to Crystal Palace.
No, they didn't lose. They got outclassed and outmatched.
All right.
3-0.
Give us the scoop. What happened?
Tottenham had Harry Kane on the field too to top it all off, and he couldn't even put one in the back of the net. Kind of reminded me of Immobile.
Well, there was their first mistake.
So, let's start off at possession. Crystal Palace, 63% versus 37%.
Hold up, though. We clarified that from the beginning. Tottenham isn't one of those teams that looks like they're going to possess a lot. They're just going to attack you when they have the opportunity and seize it.
Right. Crystal Palace had 498 passes to 314 passes.
All right. I mean, listen, they're right there. It's not that far off.
It's about, almost 200.
Almost 200 more. But I mean, listen, that I've seen games where one team has had over 500 passes, the other team's had 100 something, you know? Like, in the grand scheme of things, especially for how Tottenham plays, that's not far off.
It's not. But when watching it at live, they really made Tottenham look bad.
Look that bad. Damn, yeah. I got to go watch these highlights.
Yeah, I think Patrick Vieira is turning this club around as the manager there.
Listen, he did good things with NYCFC.
Yeah.
Why do you think he ended up leaving, you know?
Exactly. Because, you know, you want to go coach in the EPL. It's a little more high profile than the MLS. So, but yeah, no, I was very disappointed. I mean, there was a red card given to Tanganga. And Zaha had a goal from a penalty, and then Edouard had two goals, one at 84 minutes and one at 93 minutes.
Wow.
So
how are the goals? Were they nice?
They were nice. They were nice. So, you know, I think Tottenham walked away going, we need to change something because...
After the start they had to the season, you can't lose the Crystal Palace 3-0.
3-0. I mean, granted... Each game that they won was 1-0.
Right. You know? This was a wake-up call for them.
Right.
Since they were in first, do you know what happened now with that loss?
Yeah, they dropped down to seventh.
They dropped down to seventh.
Yeah, because the other teams above them, the six teams above them, don't have a loss.
So who's in the top five right now?
Man U, Chelsea, Liverpool, Everton, Man City.
Everton's not going to last in there much longer. Everton's going to end up dropping. I think Tottenham will find their way back into that top five.
Maybe. I mean, there's other teams, too, that are right there, right below them. You have West Ham that have two wins and two ties.
Right. But the biggest thing right now is the teams... How can I put this? It's the top teams. A lot of them have had to play each other at some point early on. So now they're going to run...
Everton's playing Aston Villa tomorrow. So that's going to be... That's going to be a tough game.
For Everton, yeah. Yes. But if anybody else was playing Aston Villa, we'd be talking a little bit differently about that matchup.
Right. You know, and then Arsenal got their first win.
Yeah, against who?
Norwich. You said Norwich was going to win 2-0. I said Arsenal was going to win.
I just said it because I'm sick and tired of Arsenal. Like, dude, they beat Norwich, what was it, 1-0?
Yeah, 1-0.
That's a joke.
Win is a win.
Norwich got destroyed by every team that played them, and you're going to go and beat them 1-0? Dude, I hope Arsenal gets relegated.
They're not there yet. They're at 17th place. They got three more places to drop before they get relegated.
Joke of a club.
Anyways.
So, speaking of Giants falling, did you see over in Serie A what happened this past weekend?
Before we go to Serie A, I just want to touch on Manchester United. because Cristiano Ronaldo played his first match with them.
And his debut, I heard, was pretty good.
It was pretty good. Pretty good. He scored, I believe, in the first 7 minutes and then had a second one after that. But for their 4-1 win, in the 47th minute and then the 62nd minute he scored. And then we had Bruno Fernandes scoring again.
Fernandes is just a machine.
And Lingard scored. But Newcastle had no chance.
No, listen, against Manchester United, we said it. That's the way that it was going to be. But it's interesting because his debut went so well, but in the Champions League against the young
not
boys,
so good.
Not well at all.
No, not so good.
And ladies and gentlemen, this is the Ronaldo effect in full effect. When a team stops playing together and starts playing for Ronaldo, you're going to run into these issues. And we're going to see it a lot more with Man United. I hope they enjoy that first place that they're in right now because it's not going to last much longer. Before we get into more Champions League, we got to talk about the Giants falling. Tottenham fell this past weekend.
Yep.
So did Inter Milan.
That's right.
Now, Inter Milan didn't lose, but they got a 2-2 tie against Sampdoria.
That's right.
Which I told you in the last podcast that was going to be a tricky game. Was it not?
Yeah, I think you call it a trap game, right?
It's a trap game. That's what it is. And Sampdoria, for whatever reason, always plays the top clubs hard. And Inter suffered because of it, man. I mean, Inter was sitting pretty in first place. Now they're in fourth with 7 points, while Roma, Milan, and Napoli all up there with 9. So it was interesting to see that. And it's both teams played well. I can't take anything away from either team.
Right.
It's just funny when watching Candreva play, because now Candreva at Sampdoria is like what he was when he first went to Inter Milan. So it's enjoyable to see.
Right, right. But usually doesn't that happen when you get a player that plays against his old team? He kind of steps it up a little bit.
Yes, but I think Candreva just, there was no more use for him at Inter Milan.
Right.
And Sampdoria has just kind of given him the opportunity to be an essential player again.
Did Sampdoria transition him into a different position?
No, they did not. Candreva is still playing out on the wing. He's playing where he's always played.
So talk about, you know, Giants falling. Last show, you said Juve was going to beat your Napoli team. And I said, nope, they're going to win 2-1. And he said, no, you're crazy.
You have to understand, and any Napoli fan listening to this can agree with me, you can never go out there and confidently say that Napoli is going to beat Juventus. You just cannot. I confidently said Venezia was going to get their first win against fraud of a team, Empoli. And what ended up happening? Venezia ended up winning 2-1.
That's right.
They got their first win. And I called that one too. So, hey, Empoli, start playing it in your locker rooms again. You're a bunch of frauds, okay? That's what it comes down to. But no, listen, you can't call this Giants falling. Juventus hasn't won a damn game this whole season yet.
Well,
bro,
they just won.
What game?
Not in Serie A.
I don't care about that game. Listen, I'm talking about Serie A right now. When we go to Champions League, sure, we can talk about whatever.
You know who scored for Napoli, right? Signore Koulibaly.
Right, which was the redemption that Koulibaly needed, because the last memory we had of Koulibaly against Juventus was the own goal to lose the game 4-3, okay? If you remember, it was under Ancelotti, I believe. We had just signed Lozano, we had just signed Di Lorenzo. That game was back and forth, okay? We thought we were done for. Our new players came on. We tie that game up 3-3. Last minute or two of the game, Koulibaly scores an own goal to make it 4-3.
Ugh.
Completely erased what Koulibaly did under Sarri. Remember when we went to Torino? Napoli went to Torino, and in the 88th minute, Koulibaly scored the header.
Yep.
Gave us a fighting chance for the Scudetto with 3 days left. Everybody was going nuts. We idolized Koulibaly after that.
Right, right.
And then to come back the next season and see that happen, oof, it was a heartbreaker.
Yeah, I could just imagine.
But now, the last memory we're going to have is him winning us the game against Juve 2-1.
In the 85th minute on top of it, right towards the end of the game.
Listen, it could have gotten really tough for Napoli, but I think the best thing that happened was that we went down early. Going down early, 1-0.
At 10 minutes. 10 minutes into the game.
Right. Goal by Morata, who, by the way, is on my Fantacalcio team. So, going down 1-0 early, it forced us to attack a lot more. And in the second half, it just started to click. Napoli was the better team. They put on a show.
When Morata scored that goal, even though it was at my house, I heard every single Napoli fan go, oh my God, here we go. Turn the TV off.
Dude, I mean, it's just typical Napoli. Every time we play Juventus, something like that happens.
They never stopped. They were relentless. You know what? I just want to see real quick the stats of the game.
Oh, what do you want to know? I have it all pulled up.
Okay, now the possession, Napoli.
Yeah, 68% to 32. The passes, 627 to 312. Pass accuracy, 91 to 81.
You're right. I bet you the best thing that happened to them was them scoring. Right.
It was us going down. I mean,
that one nothing so early.
But also, we have to say what a player Politano is. Okay.
Yeah, yes.
Politano changed the game for Napoli. He 100% did.
Now, let me play devil's advocate because we do know some Juve fans. They're going to say this isn't the Juve team that should have been out there. My thought process is top to bottom, Juve's got a stacked team. They've got more people on their bench that would start in other teams. So regardless.
And I'm convinced, and I think a lot of other people feel this way, it doesn't matter who Juve would have put out there. They're at a point where they're having an identity crisis. Allegri just came back to coach. They've had two different coaches over the last two seasons. Right. Okay, they're still trying to figure out who they are, but they're comparing it to who they were.
Right.
And it's causing a lot of issues for them. And I mean, listen, they did well, if you really think about it, because with the pressure that Napoli applied, they held on for as long as they did.
Right, right.
I think Politano scored what? In the 52nd, 53rd minute, something along those lines?
Something along those lines.
So they held on for as long as they could. And the team realistically, they didn't look that bad. It was typical Juve style. Go look at any past Allegri game when Juve was in their prime. What did Juve do? They literally defended you out of a game. That was the style that Allegri plays. They were trying to do the same thing. Why did it not work for them? Bunch of new players that had to come on, okay?
Right.
Specifically, Moise Kean.
Yep.
Listen, what happened to Moise Kean was unfortunate.
It was Moise Kean's mistake that caused the
Koulibaly goal. Yeah. Right. So they're in the box. Corner kick comes in. Moise Kean, instead of heading it out, heads it towards Chesney.
To me, that seemed like a brain fart. That was just all that was.
Dude, I don't think it was a brain fart. I think it was just pure unlucky. If you look at the play, I forget who it was, but somebody jumped over Moise Kean. So when the ball went over that defender's head, Moise Kean is finding himself with the ball coming straight at him. He didn't have time to react, to adjust. He did what he does instinctively.
Right.
He's a striker. When a ball's coming his way, he snapped
his head the other way.
Right.
Right.
Listen, I don't blame the kid.
No, I don't do anything wrong.
But I'm glad that it happened because Koulibaly was able to finish it. We get the 3 points against Juventus early on. I was happy with the win. I do have to touch up real quick on the new player that Napoli signed, Anguissa.
Oh my God.
Frank Zambo Anguissa.
What a signing.
Dude.
He could be the savior of this team.
Everybody. I
mean, he was just unbelievable.
When we signed him, I'm in a Napoli chat with probably over like 100 people, and it's strictly just talking about Napoli all the time. Who is this guy? I can't believe we signed a player from Fulham in second division English league. Like, what are we doing? The director needs to go. He doesn't know what he's doing. And I was like, guys, not that highlights mean anything. I'm like, but just go on YouTube and watch this guy's highlight videos when he plays for the national team, when he played for Fulham. I said, you'll think of him a little bit differently. And listen, he's got speed, okay? He's got good ball control, good touch.
Yeah.
Is he going to score us 15 goals a season? No, probably not.
But he might create 15 goals a season.
He might not assist the 15 goals a season. But what he's going to do, like you said, is he's going to create them.
That's right.
Because he's going to create space, which allows our other players to get in. Listen, the guy's a stud. And the fact that he could adapt.
I was thoroughly impressed.
He doesn't even speak English. He only speaks French. So the fact that he was able to play that way with an Italian team and he can't communicate them in either English or Italian. That's insane.
But listen, you know as well as I do, when you're in the middle of play, we don't have to communicate in English. When you're at calling for a ball or you're looking and you know what, if everyone's playing their position the way they're playing and you're that good or you know your position, you should know where everybody is.
Anthony, he wasn't even there a week.
But he was saying, wee, wee. That's how we were passing the ball to him.
He wasn't even there a week. He doesn't understand his coaches. He doesn't understand his teammates. For me, what he did is incredible. He's only going to continue to grow. And right. I couldn't be happier with this signing.
But you know what? I bet you there's a few players on the team that speak some French.
Yeah, Malqui, the guy who never plays.
Moving good on. Enough. Anyways. So
hold up. I have to touch up on Fiorentina quick.
Okay.
Listen, guys. Fiorentina, my sleeper team. I mentioned it before when we were talking about Fanta. You guys know I had him in my top five. They ended up beating everybody's precious little Atalanta 2-1, okay? Yes, it was two Vlahovic PKs, but they were PKs. They were there. Vlahovic scored both of them, okay? Fiorentina won.
So here's my question to you. You said, yes, they were PKs. I don't understand why people complain. Oh, they were just PKs. Hey, there are two goals, right? The two goals counted, and they lost. They won with the two goals, right?
Right.
I don't understand why people complain. Their goals are goals.
It's Italian nature. If you win on PKs alone, you didn't actually win the game. So that's just the mindset other people have. I don't care. Like I said, I thought they were evident PKs. I'm glad Vlahovic blasted them into the back of the net.
I'm not.
I know you're not. I was ecstatic. But no, dude, Fiorentina under Italiano, yeah, they're going to be a good team. Good. I told you they needed some time to come together, but the team's going to be dangerous.
Yeah, they look good. And then I guess one last one from Serie A. I'm going to talk about the big return.
Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
He came back. 4 months he's been gone. 7 minutes into his substitution into the game, he scores a goal.
With his shoes untied.
That's right. And remember, I told you, he kneeled down to tie his shoe. While I'm watching the whole play unfold, I'm going, oh, he's in the offsides position. He got down on one knee to make it look like, hey, don't pass to me, I'm offsides. But really, he was actually trying to tie his shoe. And still scored.
You know what? I'd appreciate it more. The goal wasn't anything fancy. No. That was a great job by Rebic, okay? Beautiful job by Rebic. Also, just want to say, Rebic, another player on my Fanta team. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
No, listen. Dude, everybody says, oh, he scores with his shoes untied. Great. Excellent. I don't care that you could score with your shoes untied. Stay healthy. Play for your team more.
Right.
They could have used you against Liverpool.
We could have. Right. We could have. I mean, Liverpool just outplayed, outclassed Milan.
So let's go into it. Champions League.
Right.
One of the games, AC Milan, Liverpool.
Playing in Liverpool.
Right. I got to say, man, Milan took it to Liverpool. It wasn't a bad game.
No, it wasn't bad, but you can see how...
They're lacking experience.
Experience, they were lacking speed, and I felt like Liverpool was more conditioned than Milan.
I think we watched two different games then, because I'll tell you what, especially in the first half, to me, it looked like as soon as Milan got anything going in an attack, Liverpool was just like, yep, go ahead, go attack us. Dude, they couldn't stop him. Brahim Diaz looked great.
But they also had, who was playing goal?
For?
Liverpool. He was playing phenomenal.
It was Alisson.
He played phenomenal. So, but so did,
Magnan.
Yes.
Mike.
Thank you. But you know, I just watching the game and seeing the way they were playing, I just, even though they went up 2-1 in the first half, I didn't think they were going to walk away with the win. I just had that gut feeling.
It's tough, man. Because you have to wonder, would Donnarumma there have made a difference? But I don't know, man.
I don't know. I mean,
Mike saved the PK, okay?
He made a couple of nice saves.
He made a couple of nice saves. Maybe on Henderson's goal, Donnarumma could have done something a little more than what he did, but...
Just because he's bigger.
Right. So it's like, it's tough. But look, in my eyes, Milan took it to Liverpool. I don't, even though it was a loss, I don't really count it as a loss for them. I think they still have a shot to make it out of this group. And Milan's going to be dangerous moving forward. But I don't ever want to hear you say they don't have speed again when they have players.
I think it's different as a fan, like it is for you for Napoli, right? So right. I'm looking at them expecting more. I'm not expecting them to be down 1-0 so fast in the game.
Yeah, but that was an unlucky bounce off of Tomori. So you can't even... Listen, the guy took a shot. Tomori went to go get it out, deflected underneath him, went into the back of the net. Right. That's unlucky. But like I said, I don't ever want to hear you say your team doesn't have speed. You guys literally have Diaz, Rebic, Leao, Theo Hernandez, and Salemakers. some of the best speed on that pitch altogether. So,
but Liverpool has speed too.
Well, I don't care about Liverpool. We're talking about AC Milan.
I know.
You said your team didn't have speed.
Right, right.
Your team has speed.
Matching up to Liverpool.
Go look at that first half again. Milan played better than Liverpool. You cannot change my mind on that.
Okay.
The second half was a full meltdown by AC Milan.
For sure.
But that first half,
Well, when they scored the first goal to tie it up, Liverpool looked lost. You're 100% correct.
Right.
And then they came back and scored the second goal. And then after that, it was like they went back to the locker room and celebrated like they won and then came back.
Yeah, like that Euro final. And what was it? The Champions League final. And what was it? 2002, 2003? Yeah. Milan up 3-0. Think they have the game won. Half of Italy's out in their cars parading already. Liverpool comes back and beats them 4-3.
Right.
Come on. You can't do that. And that's just... Unfortunately, it's the inexperience from AC Milan. They're not there yet. Liverpool's a well-coached team. They have the experience. They've won of Champions League, so hats off to them. I don't want to talk about them, but we have to talk about them. Juve, you said they came back. I didn't watch the game. How did they look?
They played Malmo. I'm not even pronouncing it right. It's a Swedish team.
Malmo, yeah.
Yeah.
So nobodies.
And, you know, they're, let's say, equivalent to Empoli, right? So
probably better than Empoli.
Probably. Right. So they beat them 3-0. Some people say they did what they were supposed to do and they beat them.
Maybe this is the year that Juve loses in Serie A, but finally wins the Champions League. Who knows?
Oh, who knows?
Right.
Well, will they make more money as a club if they won Champions League versus Serie A?
I believe so, actually. Champions League is a hefty payday.
Yeah.
And I think, they don't have to win Serie A. They just have to come in top four.
Each round they make it out of, they make something.
Yeah. All right. Podcast idea for the next episode, guys. Tune in. We're going to have all the financial figures for you of how much each team makes.
Right. You know, they did what they had to do. They went in. They did what they should have did to Empoli, to Malmo. So that's it. So
well, listen, they look great there. Let's see if it carries over in the Serie A this weekend. I really don't think it will.
Play Milan.
That's going to be another tie in my book.
A tie?
I think it's going to be a tie.
Nah. I think Milan is a little embarrassed for the loss, so they're going to come out and...
It's going to be a tie.
Think so?
Besides Napoli, have I been wrong yet?
Arsenal? There was a couple other ones from...
Hold up. The whole Arsenal losing to Norwich City thing. I hope you know that was a joke.
You can't go back on it now. You can't say it was a joke. Stop. Now and say it was a... No, I don't know. We'll see. We'll find out.
This is one of those games to me that I feel both teams are going to come out not fully attacking because they're both afraid of one another. They know that if somebody goes up early, it could be over right away.
Sure.
So I think this is one of those games where they're both going to sit back. It's going to be a possession style type game. If somebody does win, a goal is going to get squeaked in the very late second half. So
I'm going to go ahead and predict that Leao scores a goal. Bennacer scores a goal.
Bennacer.
Salesmaker scores a goal.
Sally Makers.
Thank you for the correction. And Paolo Maldini is going to come out of retirement and he's going to score a goal too. 4-0.
Finally, a name you knew how to pronounce. No, listen, I just have to break Anthony's balls. You guys know that he admitted it on one of the first podcasts. But I say but a lot.
But. Should be the new slogan for the t-shirt.
Sava FC, but. Moving on. We're just going to touch up on Napoli-Leicester.
That's right.
All right. So.
Good game.
Very good game. I didn't watch any of the Champions League games, but I made sure to watch my Napoli against Leicester City. And let me tell you, we looked terrible in the first half.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely disgusting. I was like, if we're going to do this in Europa League, like we might as well just send our youth team to play the rest of the games.
Honestly, I thought they were just going to throw the game because they're going to end up spending more money in the long run if they stay in the tournament.
No, they wouldn't end up spending more money. Like no matter what, they're always going to get more than they end up spending. But it's just like, do we really not care about this competition again? Like Spalletti's a proven coach. He's a winner, okay? Spalletti could help us get far in this competition. Right. Yeah, it's not Champions League money, but it's still something, especially in COVID times. Like, come on. You want to try to win this.
Right, right, right.
And second half comes around. Enter Osimhen. Dude, what a player. And I know people hate him because last year he had COVID and he was throwing African dollar bills around and dancing at a party with no mask. And then he came back and he got hurt. And I don't care. What I saw him do against Leicester City proved to me he was worth the $80 million that we spent.
Oh, I thought he played well.
You see that first goal?
Yeah.
Dude.
I don't even know how he got his leg to do that.
Because he's a freak of nature. When they were comparing this guy to Drogba, there's a reason for it.
Right.
He's freakishly athletic. He's tall. He's strong. But the best part about it is he's still young.
Right. What's he, 22 years old?
23, I believe. He's going to grow even more as a player. So that first goal tips it over to the defender's head, grabs the ball again, takes it out of the air, then puts it over the keeper's head just slightly enough so it rainbows into the back of the net.
Who the keeper was?
Who was the keeper?
Schmeichel.
That's right. It was Schmeichel.
Funny story. The night before, Matteo is playing manager on FIFA, and I'm like, we got to get Schmeichel. And he just starts laughing. He thinks it's the funniest name ever. So all night long, while he was going to bed, I was like, you better go to bed, Schmeichel. And then the next day, they're playing. I was like, guess who's playing goalkeeper? He's like, who? I said, Schmeichel. He literally ran out of the room laughing so hard.
But yeah, and so that first goal was incredible. And then once again, we talk about Politano being a game changer.
This is where I lost the streaming. Remember?
Right. I heard your guys' stream knocked out. Yeah. But so Politano had entered the game. I think he was already on the pitch for the Osimhen first goal.
Yes.
Game changer, Osimhen. I mean, Politano. He really reignited that Napoli fire.
The word that was on that thread with the guys from Fattacalcio was menace.
He was a menace.
Yes.
He was a menace.
That's the word.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's the debate that Lozano is better or Politano is better. I look at it this way. Whoever starts isn't going to look as good as the guy that comes off the bench between those two. Because right. In my eyes, they're both great, extremely talented players. I think Politano's a little bit more selfish with the ball. Lozano's a little bit faster. But Politano's got the better technique, the better touch. So
I like him better. I like his all-around.
But here's the thing. If Lozano's going for 50 minutes straight at full speed, right? Because that's what he does.
He comes back in.
Now, exactly. You're used to seeing Lozano, after he's already exhausted, right? Enter Politano, put him on that line, and you're like, holy crap, the guy's flying. Yeah, it's right, going to look
exactly,
like that.
He has been sitting on the bench for the last 50 minutes.
Right. You just watched Lozano exhausted for the last 20, so obviously right. Politano's going to look better. But either way, no matter which one of them comes off the bench, it's a great super sub to have. But Politano comes on, changes that game. We start to look a lot better. And then I believe it was the 85th or 88th minute. I don't remember. Politano, beautiful play outside the box, crosses it in. Osimhen header. We tie the game 2-2. A casa. Go home, guys. You got the tie in Leicester. Now when they come to us, it's going to be a whole different story.
Exactly. That's it.
Covered the games that we felt were the most important. If you guys have any suggestions, write to us on Instagram, email us, catch us on WhatsApp. Doesn't really matter. Just let us know what you think.
Yeah, we're everywhere.
All right. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next week.
See you later.